Do you feel like life is demanding more than you have to give? Well, you're not alone, friend, but God wants to meet you at your point of need and be strong in your weakness. Next on Daily in the Word with Paul Chappell, we study power for life. Stay with us. Do or where do you turn when life becomes overwhelming? A lot of people turn to painkillers, drugs, alcohol, escapism. But Jesus Christ wants you to turn to Him, and He offers you the Holy Spirit, a comforter, an indwelling presence of God that gives you power for life. Welcome to another edition of Daily in the Word. This program comes to you from the high desert of Southern California and features the teaching and preaching of Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Every Monday through Friday, you can join us here or you can join us online at dailyintheword.org. Listen online to recent programs or subscribe to the Daily in the Word podcast and take Daily in the Word with you via your phone or iPod or computer. Listen to it at your convenience. Today, we're studying power for life. I do want to encourage you to visit us online at dailyintheword.org. There are two resources we want to highlight to you as we study this series. The first is a book by Dr. Chappell entitled Living Beyond Your Capacity, a very close inspection and rediscovery of the Holy Spirit of God and His ministry in your life. If you'd like to take this series and go deeper, you're going to enjoy Living Beyond Your Capacity. Also, a new book by Dr. Chappell entitled The Burden Bearer, how you can give your burden to the true burden bearer, the Lord Jesus Christ. A creative book, an allegory that will touch your heart and challenge and change your perspective on the burdens you're carrying today. This and much, much more, you can find out all about it at dailyintheword.org. Today, we study the final message in this series, Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 8, the power to witness.
You talk to a Dodgers fan after the Dodgers win a game and they just kind of get excited about it. You talk to the Lakers fan and they're going to tell you about Kobe signed a new contract. Boy, they kind of get excited about that. Some people get excited about certain types of perfume, or others get excited about home decor. And some people, these days, people get excited about cupcakes. A lot of ladies talking about cupcakes. They get all excited about it. And it's just one thing after another. But I believe that a Christian should be mostly excited about the fact that Jesus saves. Amen. Charles Spurgeon, the great preacher of yesteryear, spoke to his church one time. He said, "Now, when you speak of heaven, let your light and let your face just light up." He said, "When you speak of hell, your everyday face will do just fine." Now, there are some Christians that need to have their everyday face light up a little bit as we testify for the glory of God. Ye shall be witnesses. You see, I don't know that God can use me to be a witness. By His power, you can fulfill this purpose of being a witness. There was a boy by the name of Douglas Maurer. He was a 15-year-old boy in Missouri. He had a temperature a few years ago, 103, 104. His parents took him into the doctors. They couldn't understand. They began to run a series of tests. The doctors discovered that Douglas had leukemia. So they called his family in for a family conference. And they did not hide anything from the family. They were very thorough in the diagnosis, and they told the family that Douglas would need 2 or 3 years of chemotherapy. They said, "We're going to tell you the honest truth, Douglas. You're going to lose your hair. Your body's going to swell up. There's going to be a lot of side effects. It's going to be a very difficult time." Douglas really struggled with that. They hadn't sugarcoated the news. Douglas went really into a state of depression. He tried not to be discouraged, but he was very, very depressed. His aunt in another state heard that Douglas was having a hard time, and During one of his stays in the hospital, she decided to send him some flowers, and the flowers came, and Douglas saw them. He saw the note from his aunt, and that was all right. But then he saw another note right next to the note from his aunt. And that note said, "Douglas, I work at Bree Florist. I took your order. I had leukemia when I was 7. I'm 22 now. My heart goes out to you. Good luck, Laura Bradley." They said when Douglas got the little note from Laura, his whole countenance changed. A smile came over his face. Something about that little note changed his outlook. He was in a hospital with millions of dollars of equipment, surrounded by doctors with hundreds of years of experience, but a 22-year-old girl who made $170 a week, by taking a moment to show compassion, touched that man's life. I want you to know this morning that you don't have to have a theological degree and you don't have to be a Christian of some 20 years for God to use you to touch someone's life. I want you to know it doesn't matter where you live or how much you make, that any one of you in the power of the Spirit of God could touch somebody's life for eternity this month. Someone said, "Compassion is your hurt in my heart." Instead of getting mad at the neighbors, how about having compassion on them? Instead of getting frustrated at the neighborhood, how about trying to tell others about Jesus Christ this month? That's the pattern. You shall be witnesses. This is your purpose in life. Notice again the verse, please, verse number 8. "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you." Notice this. "And ye shall be." Would you say that with me? "And ye shall be." "And ye shall be." It does not say you shall do witnessing. It says you shall be. God has created you as a human being. He wants you to be something for Him and through Him. And the main reason He has left us on this planet is that we might be witnesses for Him. Hey, how many of you have lived long enough to figure out as a Christian, it's not all about me, it's all about Him. You shall be witnesses. If you ever look at the verse when you come into this church above the fireplace, it says, Philippians 1:27, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." And that verse begins by speaking about our conversation, which is our lifestyle. And in essence, the verse says our whole lifestyle should be about getting the gospel out, striving together for the faith of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it is the will of God, especially in this moment in which we live, that we would live every day ready to witness, ready to tell someone about the Lord Jesus Christ. Look in your notes at 1 Peter 3:15. It says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." God says, I want you to be ready tomorrow on your shuttle bus, tomorrow in your workstation, tomorrow at the gym, tomorrow wherever you might be, at any moment, at any time, I want you to be ready to tell somebody what hope you have in you. And I don't know about you folks, the only real hope I have in me is Jesus Christ. And I want you to be ready, he says, to tell someone. That's why we have the team soul winning kickoff in a few weeks. That's why we have the big signs in the lobby. Sign up for Team Soul Winning so you can learn how to witness, so you can go with someone who knows how to witness, so you can be ready always to give an answer to those that are looking for hope. A few years ago, I was preaching down in Houston, Texas, and I preached on Monday night, and then I preached on Tuesday morning. And before I preached on Tuesday night, the pastor said, "Brother Chapel, would you like to go with us to visit the NASA Mission Control here in Houston?" He said, "We have one of the directors in the church. He'd like to give you a tour." And I said, "That'd be great." And we went into the building and we walked around, saw all the computers, saw the big screens, and they were getting ready to track the next shuttle that was going to launch as it orbited Earth. And they were telling us all about it. It was fascinating. And while they were talking, I kind of meandered over to the sidewall, and I noticed on the sidewall there was a sign and it said mission statement. And I like to read mission statements. And sometimes they'll go to a hotel or a place of business. They'll have their mission statement. I thought, this is the mission statement for mission control. This is the granddaddy of all mission statements. I want to read this one. And I went over there, and this is what it said. Foundations for mission operations at mission control. To always be aware that suddenly and unrepentantly, we may find ourselves in a role where our performance has ultimate consequences. So the engineers there at NASA were to have as their mission to always be aware that suddenly and unrepentantly, their role, their performance could have ultimate consequences. In other words, unrepentantly, at a moment's notice, they may have to change a direction or set a dial or give a command that they can't undo. They've got to make the right decision at that very moment because the lives of our astronauts depend upon it. And those engineers are commanded in their mission statement to always be aware of that fact. And we are commanded in our mission statement to always be aware and to always be ready that at any moment God might put you across the path of somebody who needs you to be what you were created to be, and that is a witness for Jesus Christ. Most churches are not witnessing churches, and most Christians are not witnessing Christians, but I say again, His last command should be our first priority, telling others about Jesus Christ. How many of you have a friend, a neighbor, a relative that is lost and without Christ while you sit in this church this morning? Come on now. All of us need to be better witnesses for Jesus Christ. So we are purposed to testify of the truth. Notice secondly, we are purposed to identify Jesus Christ. Notice specifically again in the verse it says, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses. What do the next two words say? Unto me. Let's say it together. Unto me. You shall be witnesses. Say it with me. Unto me. All right. And so we are purposed to identify Jesus Christ. Look in your notes, John 15:26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. So the Holy Spirit of God is going to help you to glorify and testify of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul said, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. Jesus said, you're going to testify of me. That is the purpose of the power that he has given to us. And so we see the promise of the power, and we see the purpose of the power, that we might be witnesses. And as we close this morning, notice with me the priority of this power. God prioritizes how he wants and where he wants this power manifested. Notice again in verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, notice this, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now, first of all, we see that we are to be involved in a simultaneous witness. We see the word both. He says, I want you to be getting the gospel out where you live and in other places at the same time. By the way, how many of you are thankful that we have missionaries all around the world preaching the gospel right now? Because we couldn't obey Acts 1:8 without those missionaries partnering with us. While we reach Lancaster, they're reaching uttermost parts of the earth. And what are we to do? And what are they to do? We are to preach Jesus Christ, Acts 5:42. And daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ, telling others about Jesus. We are to see those that receive Jesus baptized in water. The baptism does not wash away their sin, but the baptism is their testimony of faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And after someone is saved and baptized, we are to help them grow in their faith, to become a disciple of Christ, to learn and grow. That's why all of our 45 adult Bible classes have people in the class who are ready on a Wednesday night to sit down with you and line upon line help you get grounded in the Word of God, because Jesus said, teaching them all things whatsoever I have commanded you. 2 Timothy 2:2, committing to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Hey, let's just put it right down where the rubber meets the road. The goal of Lancaster Baptist Church is to help you grow in the Bible and get to know God and grow in your faith so that you can find someone else and tell them what Jesus Christ has done for you, you see. because we believe that every member here should be in the ministry and that all of us are to be witnesses for Jesus Christ. That's the will of God for His church, that we simultaneously take the message out. Right now this morning, we have members of this church in Europe and Asia, in all parts of this country, and I believe it's not just a matter of work whereby God is sending them around the world, but that He wants them to take the name of Jesus wherever they go as well. Both in this place and that place at the same time. But notice, not only simultaneously, but notice strategically. The strategy of the church simply and profoundly found in verse 8. He says, I want you to go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth, into all the world. You could say it this way. I want you to go into your community with the gospel. The Apostle Paul practiced this in Acts chapter 20. He went to a city called Ephesus in Asia Minor, modern-day Turkey. The Apostle Paul, as he went there, describes his ministry later on in the book of Acts, chapter 20 and verse 20. Notice what he says. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly, and what does it say? From house to house, all right? Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Someone says, well, house to house doesn't work. Let me tell you, it doesn't work if you don't do it. But I'm going to tell you right now, friend, I don't care what your method is. Find a method, find a way to tell someone else about Jesus Christ. And strategically, the Lancaster Baptist Church exists to win as many people in Lancaster and Palmdale and the surrounding area to Jesus Christ as we possibly can. I want you to know, friend, that we intend to reach our Jerusalem with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We take it very seriously. We map out our streets and we look at our mission field and we say, Lord, help us so that no one would come in here on a 6-month TDY in this community, a time of training or a short spell here, and not at least have the opportunity to be saved. How many of you believe that everybody deserves the opportunity to have Jesus in their life? We're not going to hide the light here at Lancaster Baptist Church. We're called to testify, to go out. Do you? Are you fully engaged in your purpose, or are you missing your purpose? The purpose is to witness. I remember as a Bible college student, our vice president of our college one day called me in. He said, Paul, we have 4 ladies out near Indio, California, that they don't have a church near them, and they'd like someone to come and preach to them. Would you go out and preach for them? Boy, I tell you what, that was great. Anytime I could preach, I preached at the rescue missions, the rest homes. I said, I'll be glad to go down there. We took a few students down there, and I preached to 4 or 5 ladies. I preached about Noah. I preached about the ark, the gopher wood, all the animals 2 by 2, the sin of the antediluvian society. Every imagination was only evil and wicked continually. I preached everything I knew about Noah, and the whole message lasted 8 minutes in length. A lot of times on Sunday afternoon, my wife says, honey, why don't you preach that message about Noah that you often used to preach? Much to my surprise, after I preached that message, they asked me to come back and preach again the next week. I don't know if it was the content of the message or the length of the message, but they asked me to come back. And we began to have a ministry out there, and later we organized that into a church that still exists to this day. And as we were getting the church going, I began, after we were married, going out on Friday nights and Saturday mornings, and we'd do some soul winning. We would go from house to house, testifying. We'd find people in the market, in the park, testify to them about Jesus Christ, invite them to the church. And I remember knocking on a fella's gate, waving at him. He invited me back into his garden area. His name was Carl Houston. Carl was a retired man living in that area. And I don't know a lot, didn't know a lot at that time about how to get a conversation going, but I knew enough to show an interest in a man's stuff, you know. Might be a motorcycle, might be a car. In his case, it was a garden. He said, you want to talk to me? You got to come back here to my garden. I'm working in my garden. I said, all right. Went back to his garden. And that man had a beautiful garden, and his specialty was onions. I mean, this guy had huge, huge onions. In fact, Carl reached down in the ground, he plucked out an onion, he washed it off with the hose. He goes, this sand grows some of the best onions in America. He says, these are so tasty, and he bit it like an apple. And just stand there biting that old onion like that, chewing on that onion. And after a few minutes, he said, here. He pulled me up one, washed up, said, have a bite. You know, we were newlyweds. I mean, I'm telling you what, I wanted to smell good. I wasn't sure about that. I took a little nibble on that onion. He said, oh, go ahead, take a big old bite like an apple. And I said, all right. I took a big old bite. Carl and I stood there eating our onions. And after a little while, I said, now, Carl, I appreciate the onion, but I want to talk to you about something. I said, Carl, do you know the Lord? Do you know if you died that you'd go to heaven someday? Carl, have you ever thought about this important matter? It's important to know. And Carl said, I don't really know that I'd go to heaven. And after about 30 minutes sitting on his picnic table there in his backyard, I had the joy of showing Carl how to pray to receive Christ as his Savior. Oh, listen, Carl made the most important decision of his life that day. Now, I smelled like an onion for 2 weeks after that. I went back to my theology classes on Monday, and all the guys around me moved their chairs away from me. They said, what is wrong with you? And I said, well, I had to eat an onion to help a guy get saved. But you know what I was doing? I was reaching out to our Jerusalem. Reaching our Jerusalem. Reaching our Judea, that's our country. Reaching Samaria, that's our continent. Reaching the uttermost parts of the earth. Hey, I want everybody to take very quickly the little envelope in front of you on the pew right there and just pull one out if there's an envelope there. Just take a look at that. You'll find a little spot that says missions on there. You see that? You see that spot that says missions? Talk to me. We don't want to spend too much time talking about money, so you got to help me here get this going quick, right? But you see that little spot that says missions? Did you know every time you fill out the envelope and write $5 or $10 for missions, it helps us to support 202 families around the world as I stand here preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ? It's not just about money, it's about souls. It's about people that are in Africa and the Philippines and Europe and people that are in China and people that are all over the world right now, and we get the privilege of strategically partnering with them through our giving and our prayers to get the gospel out. And so Jesus gathers his disciples, and look at it now, verse 8. His last command. He's about to go up to heaven, and he says to them, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. By the way, how many of you believe Jesus is coming back? Amen. So the angel sees these men just kind of staring there and says, look it, don't stand around staring up at heaven. He's coming back. Go out and do what he told you to do and make his last command your first priority. Folks, let's not spend the rest of our days just staring at the heavens. Let's be the witnesses that God has called us to be. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, you can't testify about what you've seen, heard, and know until you receive Christ as your Savior. And we would encourage you to do that today. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the power for life. Thank you for the power to witness and tell the good news.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word and Dr. Paul Chappell teaching and preaching today in a series entitled Power for Life. Friend, the power to live beyond your capacity begins with a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you don't have that relationship, you can enter into that relationship by faith. It's a decision. It's a choice. It's not about religion or tradition or structure. It's not about earning it by being good. It's about entering into it by faith because of the grace and mercy of God. If you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, we encourage you to do so right now. Bow your head and heart, pray a simple prayer of faith, confessing to Jesus Christ that you believe that He is God, that He rose from the dead after dying on the cross for your sins. Invite Him into your life to be your Savior once and for all. Before we close today's edition of Daily in the Word, I do want to invite you to visit us online at dailyintheword.org. At the website, you'll find out more about this series. You can listen to recent programs or broadcasts. There are many other resources when you visit us at dailyintheword.org. Two books that are companions to this series that Dr. Chappell has written recently. The first is entitled Living Beyond Your Capacity. It's a paperback book that studies in depth the ministry and life of the Holy Spirit within you. It's a powerful companion to this series, Power for Life. Also, a new book entitled The Burden Bearer. It's a hardback book written in an allegory form that will rivet you, capture you, captivate you, and then it will challenge you to give your burdens to the burden bearer. Dr. Chappell invites you to join us for the Alaska cruise August 9th through the 16th of 2014. Again, that's 2014. You'll enjoy 7 days of admiring God's beautiful creation in Alaska, enjoying the fellowship of believers and the teaching and preaching of God's Word. More information is found at dailyintheword.org, and we hope you'll plan now to join us for a wonderful time together aboard the Alaska cruise, August 9th through the 16th, 2014. Hey, thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word, and until next time, have a great day.